You're listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast, episode 78. Welcome to the Live Happier Longer podcast. This podcast is equal parts information, inspiration, education, and motivation, all dedicated to increased longevity and improving overall quality of life. I'm your host, Molly Watts, and I'm here to help you build the habits of a happier, longer life. Let's get started. Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Live Happier, Longer. I am your host, Molly Watts, and welcome or welcome back. I am broadcasting today from a very sunny Oregon. I've been leading up to this for a couple of weeks, and wow, I gotta tell you, it is going to be an absolutely gorgeous day today, and the next few days look wonderful as well. Very warm, but hey, I'm all good with that. Bring it on, sunshine. Today on the podcast, I am so excited to have this interview and to be able to share it with you. I am joined by Nancy Davis Coe. Nancy is a freelance writer and author, a podcast host. Her podcast and blog are called Midlife Mixtape, and it's great. She's been blogging since 2011, so well-established blog, podcasting since 2017. And today I want to talk to her about her book that just got published called The Thank You Project. And it's such a wonderful idea. It was such a wonderful project, and the book itself is fantastic. You are going to love learning more about how you can incorporate a thank you project in your own life, what it's done, what it meant to Nancy, and how it fits so well with creating that habit of gratitude that is so important for living a happier, longer life. Here is my conversation with Nancy Davis Coe.
Hello, Nancy.
Nice to hear your voice, Molly. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited to have this conversation and to learn more about the Thank You Project. And I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk with me and my audience.
I'm so happy to be here because I too would like to live happier longer. So
Right.
Let's discuss it. I need more hints.
Well, you definitely are very attuned with daily habit number 4, which is give. And that is all about gratitude. And one of the reasons that I wanted to talk with you is about this book is because not only do I love the fact that you did it and that you decided to write a book about it, but I think it's wonderful, a wonderful primer for people that are trying to create a habit of gratitude. So one thing I want to ask you about that first, and this book is called The Thank You Project. And basically it, talk about your experience writing thank you letters over the course of a year. And tell me a little bit more about the history of it, and then I'll ask my question.
Sure. So I was coming up to my big 50th birthday, and it occurred to me that number one, I had a lot to be thankful for. My husband and I had been married a long time at that point. Our two girls were doing great. My parents were around, and I think by the time you get to that number on the birthday chart, you realize that you shouldn't take that stuff for granted. You shouldn't assume that everything is going to be going fine. And probably, you know, we've all suffered hardships at some points in our lives. We've certainly seen people we love go through hard things. And so we know in a kind of a deeper way, I think at the midpoint, that these things are not to be taken lightly. So I decided that the way I wanted to commemorate that birthday year was to write one letter every week to someone who had helped or shaped or inspired me, because I know that I am where I am in my life because I've had good friends, good teachers, wonderful parents, you know, a lot of support from a lot of different kinds of people. And it just felt appropriate to me, I guess, and in a way to mark that year by reminding myself of who those people were and letting them know that I appreciated what they had done in my life. And I really started this off without a lot of forethought, Molly. It wasn't like, I'm going to do this thing that will change my life. I backed into it, I guess, in a sense. And what happened was it ended up being a very challenging year. And if you read the book, you know, I faced a lot of, you know, loss that year that was unexpected. And it went from being this kind of joyful, oh yeah, I get to write a letter to this friend this week, to I feel so sad and anxious right now. I need to write a thank you letter because I know that I will feel better by the time I've finished writing it. And so the book is meant to be a blueprint for readers to do their own thank you project. And I try to make it very non-judgmental, very much like, here's what I did. Here's how some other people who did similar, you know, kinds of initiatives structured there, so you can fit it to however you want. There's a lot of the science in it because I knew, and my experience was that every time I wrote a letter, I felt better, I felt calmer, I felt more resilient, more connected. And I wanted to understand exactly why that was. So I was able to interview psychologists, social scientists about what the actual brain processes are, what was, why did I feel better? And so I try to include that too, because I don't want anyone to think, oh, that's great for her. She wrote letters and she felt better, that, you know, that wouldn't work for me. Yeah, it will work for you. That's science. So, and I tried to write something that would be kind of fun and entertaining, because I think the last thing, even before the pandemic, the last thing any of us needed was like, you should write your thank you letters, you know, like, you know, anything that was kind of naggy. So I mean, I had fun writing the letters. I found it a really joyful thing to do. And I want readers to understand that it's not just another thing on your to-do list. And it's more of an invitation to reflect on who's been nice to you in your life. That's not a bad thing to think about. That's not a bad way to spend your brain, you know, your meditation time.
No, absolutely not. And as I shared with you a little bit, you don't want to nag people, but the premise that you get to live a happier, longer life, from my perspective, you don't get there without actually having a plan in place. It's not something that just happens in a vacuum. You don't just, you know, wake up and you're 85 and you've managed to successfully have this happier, longer life. What I realized from watching my parents take two very different paths towards aging was that my dad actually did have a plan. And part of that plan, whether he thought about it ahead of time or he just did things naturally, he had things that he did regularly and consistently. Mm-hmm. And they have proven, they have borne out he just turned 92. He's still
Mazel tov, that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And he's still growing. He's still learning. He's still optimistic. And, you know, I want that in my life. That's what I want. And so when I looked at his life and really distilled that information, daily habit number 4, give, expressing gratitude, was something that he does naturally, and is something that then I, like you, wanted to understand if there was actually science there to back it up. And it turns out there is. There is actual science that not only links it to improved happiness and better and optimism, but it actually can increase your life, increase your longevity. So it's like, okay, these are a win-win scenario. But what I love about your project, and that's what the question I wanted to ask was, so it sounds like it had a very organic beginning, and you didn't set out to, although you are a writer, did you set out to write a book?
Oh gosh, no. And in fact, there was a big period of time, well, you know, I think I signed the last letter and didn't, aside from, as they say in the book, the one place I am naggy is that you have to keep a copy of every letter you write, because looking back over what you've written is really great when you're having a low day. Just reread a couple thank you notes about, and remind yourself who your support network is. And that can be really healing. And so that was the only way, you know, I finished the letters every once in a while, you know, take out my thing and flip through it, and didn't think about it more than that. And then about 6 months later, I was sitting at a birthday party for somebody who, it was a 50th birthday party, and somebody else who was about to turn 50 took me aside and said, I heard you did this thing where you wrote letters. What was that about? And I was like, well, it was pretty self-explanatory. I just wrote some letters. And she kept asking me questions. What did you write? Who did you write to? And I was like, well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. And then another person asked me, and by the time the third person asked me at a different, you know, in all different environments, asked me how to do it, I thought, well, maybe it's not as self-explanatory as I thought, and maybe it would be helpful for people for me to put all that information, put everything that I learned in short, you know, flatten the curve, which is an ironic term to use right now, to flatten the curve toward how to write, you know, as you say, I am a writer. So the writing of the letters was not necessarily as challenging for me as it might feel for other people. So I wanted to make it easier for other people.
Yeah.
And frankly, whoever you are, whether you're a writer or not, thank you. The idea of thank you notes can be pretty fraught. And in fact, when I do readings, I often start by asking people if they have ever A, been nagged to write a thank you letter, or B, nagged their own kids to write a thank you letter. And virtually every hand goes up, because it's not always the most fun thing to do to sit down and write that formulaic thank you for the, I use it for, you know, we had the little formula we used with the kids when they were small. Yeah.
I actually didn't even think about that, because you're right. I have like a bad memory. I mean, it a very bad negative association with physically writing thank you notes, because
Molly, did your grandmother redline your thank you notes and send them back to you? Because mine did.
Oh my gosh! I mean, no, that's even worse. That's horrible.
So when people say, like, I think I just want to dispel the assumption that I think I'm a naturally fairly positive person, which has more to do with humor probably than anything else. But I am not somebody who had this big gratitude practice before I did this. I'm not somebody who just is Pollyanna running around thanking every single person I see.
Right.
I got better at doing that in writing the letters. And it's one of the things I really like about your show, is that you talk about it in terms of habits, because it is something you can learn. And you've probably found this in the science you've looked at. But you, every time you write one of these gratitude letters, and it's, in fact, anytime you stop and make a deliberate expression of gratitude, whether that's in writing, whether it's saying it out loud to somebody, or even just thinking it in your head, you're rewiring your brain to be more positive. And what the psychologists say is the neurons that fire together wire together.
Yep.
So with every letter I wrote, and remember I wrote 50 of them, I was getting more and more efficient at finding positive things about around me. And that was the thing that really changed for me, is I think I got much better at looking at any negative situation or negative person in my life and thinking, okay, what's the good that came, you know, that can come from this. And it certainly has come in handy during the pandemic. I can remind myself with quickness when I start spiraling and thinking we're never going to be able to leave our homes again, I can think, well, you know, my college kids are home and I did not expect to have this extra time with them. Like, as an empty nester, sure, I don't love doing all the extra cooking and laundry and whatnot, but they're going to be gone again and it's going to be permanent when they go. And so to get this extra time, it's really a blessing. And if you've, you know, in the book, I talk a lot about how, so, you know, the first letters I wrote were to family and close friends and the obvious ones who you would think of to write to. But the better I got and the more efficient I got at looking for positive things, I started thinking, well, you know, if you're talking about helped shaped or inspired me, you know, people who had helped shaped or inspired me, I learned from negative example. I think most people have a few relationships where they can say, well, I won't do that again. And that's a good lesson. Yeah. So I talk about writing to you know, former friends, ex-boyfriends and girlfriends, terrible bosses who you might have quit a job because they were so awful, but maybe you found a better job, and you don't have to mail the letters. And that was the realization. I think I hit it at about, you know, letter 25 or so, that, oh, I can write these letters. I feel all these physical benefits of gratitude. I feel more positive and, you know, and more relaxed and centered when I write it, not when I send it. It's not the person's reaction to it that gives me that good feeling. Although that was always great. If I got a nice reaction, that was like the cherry on top, but I didn't expect it. But if I can get these feelings just by writing and not sending, then that opens up a whole list of names of people I can write to and just not be in touch with. So I do think that it built a habit in me of being better at looking for things to be positive.
Well,
you even asked me a question, or to just, I just gave a monologue. I'm sorry.
No, that's all good. You did. And I loved it, because honestly, you're preaching to the choir. One of the things that is foundational here for Five for Life in this podcast is the science behind all of this. And I'm a geek about it all. I really enjoy it. And those neural pathways that you're talking about, there was a lot of time spent in neuroscience. Really, it wasn't until the early 2000s that neuroscientists actually understood that people of advanced age could still create new neural pathways, that our brain never stops growing, and that you can keep doing that right up until the very end. And what you're talking about is really the bottom line, the core at being optimistic and resilient. And as we approach aging, as we get older, right, it becomes even more important to foster optimism and to understand that you can. I agree with you. I'm not the Pollyanna. That's one of the things, you know, in having a podcast that's called Live Happier Longer. One of the reasons that science is so important to me is that I'm not a naturally woo-woo person either. I'm not like, you know, I don't walk around and go, oh, you know, happy thoughts. It just doesn't happen like that for me. What I am so excited to share, and really it reinforces in me listening to you, is that this habit can be formed by you in a very dedicated manner. By doing the actions, you can reinforce the neural pathway. And that's just really good news. It should be really great news for anybody. It's like, you know what I mean? If you don't walk around, and it's being happier doesn't mean that life never has any negative complications, that, you know, that things are just going to be rainbows and lollipops from here on out. You know, it's all about a reframing, and it is about resilience and about maintaining optimism despite the things that are going to come along our path.
I have to laugh because at some point, and I looked at the back of my book, I realized it was categorized, you know, the ISBN categorization was self-help. Yep. I was like, me? Self-help? I'm the most cynical person you've ever met. And I think that has something to do with generationally, I'm a Gen Xer. And I think that, you know, we do tend to be a little bit cynical. And I'm not somebody, I also say I'm like a repressed WASP from way back. I haven't done a lot of therapy or anything like that. I'm not somebody who runs around spouting new age stuff. I'm a very pragmatic person. And if this can work for me, and if I can actually step back and tell you that, yeah, I feel happier as a result of this, it can work for virtually anybody, because I'm not wired that way. I'm not somebody who is just like, you know, I mean, I'll say I'm a person of faith. I'm a member of a very liberal Episcopal church here in Oakland, California, and that, you know, informs it as well. But I don't want you to think that I went into this like with my I don't know, worry beads or whatever. I just this works, and it's easily replicable and it's extensible. I mean, one of the things, when I did all that research and I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's why, you know, that warm feeling in my chest every time I finished a letter, that's called elevation. It's quantified. You really get this sense of your heart opening a little bit. And, oh, my shoulders sank. Well, that probably has to do with the fact that the blood pressure goes down when you express gratitude and all these things. And then I got to the end of writing my book and I was like, why did I stop writing thank you letters at 50? Like, what a stupid thing to stop doing. So I've restarted, and I'm not quite as regimented as I was. It's not every week, but I can tell you, I know when it's time to write a thank you letter. It's when the shoulders start going up again and I'm feeling anxious about the state of the world. I'm like, I know how to fix this. I need to think of somebody who has helped me and tell them that I saw that and I appreciated that, and works every time.
Yeah. And I love that. And of course we do talk about it as a daily habit, expressing gratitude, and the expression part is what I think is so important, not only in what you just said about writing thank you letters, but also the science backs up that it's writing, it's saying, it's actually thinking it out loud. We have a journal, and a planner / journal where you can literally track it every day and spend 5 minutes in, you know, just making a note of gratitude or saying thank you. But what I like about, and I know in your, I'm sure in the book, and it is, you think it's better to say thank you than to say I love you to someone.
Well,
or not, I think not better. Maybe it's just,
I don't know that it's better. I think it's a different way to do it. And I think it's a very meaningful way to do it. I think I was, I wrote about how for Mother's Day, and now with Father's Day coming up, I think the same, you know, telling people in our lives exactly what they did, how it made you feel, and how it impacted you down the line is such an interesting thing for people to read or to know, you know, like, and I have to say, since writing this book, I've been on the receiving end of some really beautiful letters from old friends who found the book and read it and said, and yeah, sent me thank you letters, which was not why I wrote the book. So it was like a total bonus, but there are times where people have said, you helped me when you did this. And I'm like, really? I had no idea. Like, I didn't know. And there was one incident in particular that I think goes to show how powerful these letters can be. When I was a sophomore in college, or was going into my sophomore year, all my closest friends had paired off for housing, and I was the loser of that game of musical chairs, and I didn't have a roommate, and I was, you know, a little freaked out. And these girls who I barely knew had a quad, there were only three of them, and they were like, come on, you can live with us, it'll be fine. And I didn't really know them at all, and it was a really good year. They were lovely, and the nice thing was they had different sets of friends than I did, so I met a ton of new people that year, and I was really grateful to them that they had been so kind and welcoming and, you know, kind to me. One of them, who, you know, I've stayed friends with them for forever, and one of them wrote me a thank you letter, and she said, I'm so grateful to you because that was the year that my music sensibilities opened up. You were always dragging me to concerts. You were always playing music for me that I hadn't heard. And I've got such better taste in music because you lived with me. And I was like, I thought I was the taker that whole year. I didn't think I had one single thing to give to those girls. And it turns out I did. And it made me feel better about myself. I was like, oh, I wasn't just a charity case. I was a good DJ in that apartment.
You know what, that reminds me of something wonderful about your book is all of your suggested songs and your Spotify playlist for the Thank You Project. This, tell me a little bit more about that. Obviously, music's just a big part of where you know, your whole life. I know both reading and music for you, but explain to me.
I've had a blog called Midlife Mixtape since 2011. Mm-hmm. And I added a podcast, the Midlife Mixtape podcast. I started that in 2017. So for me, music is a huge part of my life. In fact, one of the letters I wrote was to the live music industry. That was one of my thank you letters. I started thinking of all the bands I would write to, and then I was like, no, I don't have, you know, 10 years right. for this project. So I summarized, but I love to go. I've always loved music, and I still try to go to a concert every month. This has been actually the hardest part of the pandemic for me is knowing that I can't go see a live show until sometime in 2021, fingers crossed. Right. So it's actually been quite painful, but I've been watching a lot of, Zoom concerts.
In fact,
my latest guest on the podcast, I was supposed to go see Poi Dog Pondering play this week in San Francisco. Obviously, the show got canceled, but I got the lead singer on to the Midlife Mixtape podcast.
How awesome. That's very fun.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a really great guy. Frank Worrell is his name. But back to the music. I think in lyrics a lot. I'm always, when someone asks me a question, I almost always have to don't answer in a song. And so it made a lot of sense to me. The way the book is structured is the first part is here's how you organize your thank you project. Here's how, you write a letter and just tries to be instructional to make that part of it easier. But the whole rest of the book is here are groups of people to whom you might want to write in your own life. Here's some people to think about. And I wrote it that way in part because I knew full well a lot of people aren't going to write the letters at all. But even just reading about those categories of people will help them think about who that could be. And that, again, is going to that neural rewiring. Even if you're just thinking about it, you're already doing some of the work. But at the end of each of those chapters, I would think, as I was thinking about, medical professionals, I was thinking, doctor, give me some news. I got it, and then when I was thinking about, writing to your pets, because I wrote to my dog. There's a song called Lester by Neil Finn that I just love that he wrote to his Dalmatian. And so I was like, can I just put a playlist for each chapter? And the editor said it was fine. And I will tell you, I spent as much time on the playlist as I did actually putting the words in the book. So, and yeah, put them all on Spotify so people can listen to them.
I love that. I love that. I think that makes it even, you know, it really does. For me, it makes it even better. I think the, not only do I love the music part of it, but it just inherently, but the organic part of it. And it's something that's important to you. And I think it just shares more of your journey and why, and who knows, you might help somebody discover some music that they never have, which would be wonderful too.
I hope so. I will tell you what, I'm laying down a challenge. If there's any songwriters or performers listening, please someone write a song about a teacher that isn't smutty, because all the songs about teacher, I wrote to my wonderful AP English teacher, and I didn't really want to dedicate, you know, Hot for Teacher to her. So we need some more choices. That's my plea.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, Nancy, I could talk to you all day. I really could. I think that there is so much wisdom in this book. And I know there were hard letters that you wrote. There were some that were easier for you to write. You share so much of yourself. You've got this wonderful underscore of humor that runs throughout, you know, even in our conversation, but the book too. And I just appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk with me about it. I'm going to link in my show notes how to get to the Midlife Mixtape blog and the Midlife Mixtape podcast, both. So I appreciate that. And I know that people will enjoy learning more about the Thank You Project. I hope that even by us talking about this and sharing it, that people will start creating the habit of gratitude in their lives. If it, you know, what could be simpler? Lose your old associations with the thank you note and just express gratitude. Tell somebody that you're thankful for them and why you're thankful for them.
Well, thank you so much. I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, it's not a hard practice to put into gear, and it really will give profound and lasting benefits. So I appreciate the chance to talk about the book with you, Molly.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Nancy.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Live Happier Longer podcast. If this podcast is helping you and you'd like to go a little deeper, maybe track your progress on your habit building, you should check out our 5 for Life planner. The planner is 13 weeks, undated, and you can start literally at any time to create the habits of a happier, longer life. It'll keep you motivated and it'll keep you accountable. And hey, it's affordable. So go to shop.5forlife.co. That's shop.5forlife.co and enter promo code podcast for a special discount.